From the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Good morning. I am deeply grateful to Dean Kate Moorhead Carroll for her gracious invitation to me to be with you all this morning to serve as preacher and celebrant on this rich liturgical day in which we enter into Holy Week, the core of the Christian year. My wife Susan and I have attended worship in this beautiful cathedral a number of times since my retirement as the 12th Bishop of New Jersey this past June. We're grateful for the work and witness of this cathedral community and for the leadership of its clergy and staff. You are indeed blessed, are you not? Yeah, you can do that. Go ahead. St. John's Cathedral occupies a vital place in the city and in the Diocese of Florida, and I'm honored to be among you and to serve as an assisting bishop in this diocese and to join in this work. We face challenges as church today, don't we? We face challenges as church. We face challenges in our culture. Discord, polarization, seething anger, inequity, hatred, and even violence. These challenges, very real challenges, beg the question, what does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus today? How are we, as followers of Jesus, called to respond? Does the juxtaposition of events highlighted on this day in our church year, Palm Sunday, the Sunday of the Passion, offer any clues about the nature of our discipleship and how we might meet the challenge in front of us? Childhood memories of Palm Sunday carry for me a sense of celebration, even joy. And celebration is good. Joy is one of the gifts of the Spirit. I remember gathering on the town green in Forest Hills, New York, where I have deep family roots. We joined with people from other churches on the town green, as palms were blessed in an ecumenical liturgy. Often spring was in the air, and all processed to their individual churches waving palms and singing All Glory, Laud, and Honor. I gather something similar took place. How many participated in that this morning? A few of you, good. Celebratory, festive, like a party, and that's certainly in keeping with the first Palm Sunday when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. But that festive mood passes quickly. Something happens. The liturgy turns on a dime. Joy and celebration at the triumphal entry end abruptly as we are confronted with the cross. The collect of the day strikes a very different note from that of our processional hymn. Almighty and ever-living God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our nature and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering and also share in his resurrection. Walk in the way of his suffering, share in his resurrection. What does all of this mean? Today, March 24th, is the 44th anniversary of the martyrdom of Archbishop Oscar Romero of El Salvador. Do any of you know about him? Know his story? A good few. I hope more do, and if you don't, maybe you could watch the phenomenal film, 1989 film, starring Raul Julia. It's eponymous. The title of the film's Romero. It really is outstanding, and I urge you to watch it. Staid and conservative at the outset, Romero did not seem the type of person or bishop to upset the corrupt status quo that marked life in El Salvador at the time. But when Romero's close friend and colleague, Jesuit priest Father Rutilio Grande, stood up for the poor and was brutally assassinated, Romero took up his friend's mantle, challenging the crooked oligarchy on behalf of the oppressed. He became a voice for the voiceless. As hagiographer Robert Ellsberg notes, quote, Romero's weekly sermons broadcast by radio throughout the country featured an inventory of the week's violations of human rights, casting the glaring light of the gospel on the realities of the day. On March 23, 1980, in an address, Romero called upon the nation's soldiers to refuse illegal orders, beseeching them, quote, we are your people. The peasants you kill are your own brothers and sisters. And the next day, March 24, 1980, as he said Mass in the chapel of the Carmelite Sisters Cancer Hospital where he lived, he was killed by a single rifle shot fired by an assassin from the back of the chapel. He was immediately recognized as a martyr and saint by the people of El Salvador. Much of the rest of the world sees him in the same way. In fact, March 24th is now his feast day on our Episcopal Church calendar, when it's not Palm Sunday. 2 weeks before his death, Romero had stated, quote, I have frequently been threatened with death. I must say that as a Christian, I do not believe in death, but in resurrection. If they kill me, I shall rise again in the Salvadoran people. And presciently, Romero declared, martyrdom is a great gift from God that I do not believe I have earned. But if God accepts the sacrifice of my life, then may my blood be the seed of liberty and a sign of the hope that will soon become a reality. A bishop will die, he said, but the church, the people, will never die. Romero understood God's self-giving love quite literally. In Christ, God gave of God's own self, emptied God's own self to become flesh. That's our core conviction and belief. God in Christ gave of himself to die upon the cross. As the great contemporary German theologian Jürgen Moltmann puts it, the death of Jesus is a statement of God about himself. To what end? To call us, each one of us, back to God, by drawing us into Christ's love, life, and death. Reflecting on faith-filled discipleship in a biography about Father Alfred Delp, another martyr, a priest executed by the Nazis in 1945 for the crime of being a Catholic and a Jesuit, author Peter Nguyen observes, quote, the way of Christ in an anxious and violent world is the path of the law of the cross, which leads disciples to the deepest and darkest places of human existence, where sin is redeemed. And Gwen continues, the Spirit binds the believer onto the self-giving love of the cross. The Spirit relates us to Christ and enables us to confront evil. This confrontation with evil and its consequences is the fruit of a love that commits people to their brothers and sisters in the world. The lives of both Archbishop Oscar Romero and Father Alfred Delp, as with the lives of so many Christian saints and martyrs, offer ultimate expression of the kind of self-sacrificial love that exemplifies authentic Christian discipleship. By God's grace and in the power of the Holy Spirit, saints and martyrs down through the ages have attached themselves firmly to Christ, giving full expression to Christ's admonition. If any want to become my followers, let them take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. It is perhaps unlikely that any of us here this morning will be called to the kind of Christian witness and martyrdom exemplified by Oscar Romero and Alfred Delp. Nonetheless, our too violent, often self-centered, hyper-individualistic world is a threatening place, in desperate need of the selfless love of God found in Christ Jesus, who yearns for us to return to Him, yearns for us to live lives of sacrificial love for others for Christ's sake. In his second letter to the church in Corinth, St. Paul wrote, "For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh." So that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. Doesn't that capture the implications of today's events? Doesn't it capture the implications of the events of this upcoming week we call holy for our own lives and our own discipleship as followers of Jesus Christ? If these events are to be truly redemptive events, we cannot simply be observers standing at a safe distance like Peter in that garden, or the women portrayed in Mark's Gospel, the Passion, which we just read, or worse still, like Jesus' first followers, the men who denied him and fled the scene completely, never showed up in the first place. Of course, that was before Easter. That was before Easter. 3 days later, it would all change. Something radical happened, life-changing, world-changing. Those disciples would be encountered, commissioned by the risen Christ, received the breath of Christ's Spirit. From that moment forward, Christ's life would be made visible in theirs, in their mortal flesh, as they went forth to teach, baptize, heal in His name, reveal Christ's life in their own lives, often at great personal cost and sacrifice. Well, how about us? What will the outcome of this day of confrontation be? What will result from our observance of Holy Week this year as our church and culture face such enormous challenges? Our Lenten observance is drawing to a close. And we have a group who are about to recommit themselves to be received, confirmed, to reaffirm their baptismal promises, and in fact, all of us are going to renew our baptismal promises. These promises are grounded not merely in our belief about God, but in our trust in God. I believe doesn't mean, oh, I thought about it, makes sense. I put my trust in this God, my trust in this one I know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The promises provide a framework for living our lives in ways by God's grace and in the power of the Holy Spirit that can't but help make the life of Jesus visible in our mortal flesh, leading us, if we are faithful, to see and respond to the hurting and most vulnerable people and situations in our world, deep compassion and sacrificial, costly love, whether they be in Gaza, or Ukraine, or Sudan, or a dollar store in Jacksonville, Florida. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal bodies. May it be so. May it ever be so. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first He suffered pain, and entered not into glory before He was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.